We are up to Perek Zayin, Pasuk Tes Zayin. Good morning, how are you? I missed you yesterday. Pasuk Tes Vav, Eov is describing how he wishes his life came to an end during the days. He thought that maybe he would have some relief when he goes to sleep. He lies down on his bed. Maybe there will be some relief. But he comes to the conclusion that's not a solution because he has nightmares. He has visions which terrify him. And Pasuk Tes Vav continues his analysis of his miserable life. Vatifchar machanak nafshi. Okay, I've chosen for my neshama strangulation. I want to die. He just wants, it's better that I should choke to death. Moves me'atzmosoi, better death to my bones. Let's take a look at the precise translation in the words of the Metzudah, Stavah Pasuk Tes Vav. Vatifchar nafshi tifchar lamus mimisas chenek. My neshama desires, my neshama has chosen to die. I choose death better than remaining in my bones. I shall remain together with my bones. It's some type of expression. It's lost on me the deeper meaning of this expression, but he basically means to be saying that my life is so miserable, I choose strangulation, and there must be some significance why strangulation. We know that in the halacha, therefore, Nisos Bezdin, there's Skila, Sreifa, Herig, and Chenik. Herig is the least. Chenik is the least, Chazal say it's the least painful. The other forms of death are more painful. Skila, I think Skila, according to one opinion, is the worst. Okay, that's to be when a person is thrown off it's not so tall. It's not off the Empire State Building. Skila is when they throw you off a two-story building. A two-story building is twice the person's height. And it's not too tall is because it would be disgusting. The body would be mutilated upon impact if a person falls from a height that's greater than 2-3 stories. It gets the job done just as well. 2-3 stories. So it's not necessary to mutilate the body by being thrown off a building more than 2-3 stories, but that's not the end. After a person is thrown off, then they throw stones on top of his body. And then there is sreifa, where they pour molten lead down a person's throat. And then there is hereg. And how is hereg done? I don't remember. Decapitation? Mamish? Yeah.
It works on disfigurement.
Yeah.
That's why this makhlokes is between sreifa and hereg, which is worse.
Which one is worse? So they mamish decapitate the head entirely?
Yeah.
Completely severed?
Yes.
Wow, okay. Scary stuff.
I had to get thrown off the Empire State.
But Chazal say Chenik is the.
Haruge Malchus was
Herod. They had all four. Okay, so the Chazal say that over here he's choosing. It's interesting. I don't see anything before him speak about this. That he's choosing. Matifcha mechanak nafshim. And Hashem chose Chenik. I guess he wants a peaceful death. Relatively speaking, from all the other forms of death, this is the more peaceful. I rather moves me'atmosai. Rather death rather than remaining in my state of bones. I guess he was a skeleton figure. What he means to say is that his flesh has decayed, and he's full of worms. And he's been reduced to a skeleton, and that's why he's calling himself a skeleton. Let's think of Rashi. Rashi pasuk tezvav, mavis me'atzmosai, mavis ani boicha yoise me'ivorim halalu shabi. I think shabi means that my limbs, that I choose death rather than these limbs that I find myself in, meaning my disgusting body. Okay, let's go pasuk tezayin. Ma'asti. I detest my life. I hate my life. I hate my life. Lo l'olam echyeh. I will not live forever. Chadal mimeni. Leave me alone. Ki hevel yomoy. My days are hevel. They're worthless. Let's take a look at them to the sea and pasuk hazayin. Ma'asti. Emas chayai. I detest my life. Ki lo l'zman orich echyeh. I will not live forever. Now he's coming here to say something to reject the argument of Eliphaz. Umahu hatoiva she'ucha lekabel b'zman kotza lezos. What good can I possibly receive after I come to an end? Eliphaz told Eov, Eov, you're suffering for a good reason. After your suffering is over, it's only going to last a short period of time. You will then live a good, long, healthy life filled with much blessing. You'll be spared from the 6-7 things which other people suffer. So Eov over and over says to Eliphaz that this is nonsense, because after my suffering is over, I'm dead. There's nothing good I can possibly receive. My body has been destroyed to the point that's beyond return, and there's nothing I can possibly want. So that's what Moaz. My life is testable. There's nothing worth living for after the illness comes to its end. What's this good? What good I possibly receive after the illness ends? Therefore, I beg you, Hashem, to let me die. Leave me alone. Leave me alone from this life. Ki alo hevel yamai. My last days are worthless. Ve'ein lohem mamish. There's nothing of substance. Ki mo'otim heimo. There are few days that are left. So at least don't let me suffer and toward. Don't let me suffer during these last few days. According to the Malbim, he says that there's no. I don't have any opportunity to achieve anything spiritual in this world. I can't daven, I can't learn, I can't accomplish anything. There's a very famous svar in the bracha of Asher Yotzar. We say within Asher Yotzar, Chazal tell us that ein amida ella tefila. If a person is in a matzav where his stomach, his body, is not functioning at 100%, he's not allowed to daven. Not only he's not allowed to daven, he can't daven, he's sick. And if a person is sick, eifshar lehiskayim, I can't exist. What's the purpose of my existence? V'la'amod. And pray to you, Hashem. Vayamod Pinchas vayipalel. Chazal darshan ein amida ella tefila. If a person can't daven, he can't serve Hashem. It's not kedai to live. That's what we say every single day. A homiletic interpretation of the bracha of Asher Yotzar. And according to the Malbim, that's really what Eov is saying to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. That since I don't accomplish anything, so why bother? What's the purpose of letting me live and suffer? Let me just die. Now he goes to Pasuk. Let's see, Rashi. Rashi says there is no Rashi. Oh no, there is Rashi. Maasti b'chayai ki sof sof lo le'olam echya. I'm not going to live forever. Chadal meni milahor ali. Leave me alone. Chadal means desist. Milahor ali from causing me pain. Ki hevel umaat yomai. My days are nothingness and they are few. So there's no purpose. Now go to Pasuk Yud Zayin. Yud Zayin begins a new theme. Okay, he's now shifting gears, and he's expressing a very powerful concept, which really is it's powerful stuff. Same expression. Just leave. We're at a point, a breaking point. Okay, now Yud Zayin is a new powerful point, and from. Eov's criticism, Eov's complaint, we learn the truth. We learn very powerful yesodos. It's a very interesting idea. He says to Hashem, Mo enosh ki sigad lenu, v'chi soshis elov libecha. What is man that he is worthy that you should elevate him? You shall treat him as great. You shall treat a human being as a great person. That you should pay attention. Your heart should be set to understanding man. Let's read the next pasuk. To Hashem. He's speaking to his friends, he's speaking to himself. He's also, I don't know if he's speaking directly to Hashem, but he is simply speaking to Eliphaz. He's speaking to Eliphaz, and he's telling Eliphaz, everything that you told me is nonsense, and you tell me this Hashkocha Pratis. He's coming now back to argue that there's no such thing as Hashkocha Pratis, because what man is nothing. He is nothing. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu bother with a human being? Even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu did have the ability to pay attention, why would he? Man is not worth it. He's a nothing. Mo enosh. Enosh is the term used for a frail human being. We have many different words for man. There's Adam. Adam is a word which represents man's greatness. Adam comes from the word Adamel or Elyon. May I be similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the word enosh represents man's frailty, man's weakness. Man is a weak creature. What? Mortality, man is a nothing. Therefore, why kis sigalin? Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu elevate a human being to a degree of importance that he's worthy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu paying attention and dealing with every single moment of the day? V'chisoshes a love libecha. Is it really worthy for you, Hashem, to pay attention to man? Libecha here means attention, to apply yourself. Soshes means to turn. To put forth. So here it means, is a man really worth that you should pay attention? Pasuk Yudches, Vatifkedenu Levakarim. Vatifkedenu comes from the word Pekida. Vahashem Pokad Esara. Hashem remembered Sarah. Is it really Kedai that Hashem should remember man every single morning? Lirigoim, every moment, every rega. A rega is a second. Every second, Tifkonenu. What? Livkarim means in the morning, every morning. Mod ani lefanechem alchayim v'kem shechazar tibi nishmasi v'chem l'rabba munasecha. Is it really kedai that every single morning HaKadosh Baruch Hu should blow man's neshama back into his nostrils to wake him up? Is it really kedai? L'regoim tivchonenu. Tivchonenu means to pay attention. It's another word here which means to pay attention, to understand man's ways. L'regoim every single moment. Is it really kedai? Man is nothing. Okay, so let's these two psukim together. Eiv is coming to reject the concept of Hashgacha Pratis from a different angle. Until now, Eiv basically said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he set up the world and he walked away. And Hashem is not, now he's coming to say, even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was involved in this world, he was here, he was present, why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu bother with this lowly creature called man? Pasuk Yudzayin in the Mitzudos David, Mo Enosh Ad Heino, Omar Dvarav Lefidas, Selifas Shakol, Bob Hashkoch. Until now, he was speaking to Elifas that even if it's true that there is Hashkoch HaPratis, it's not fair. That was the theme of the last couple of psukim. Okay, Elifas, maybe you're right. Maybe there is Hashkoch HaPratis. But it doesn't make sense. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu torturing me? And the end's going to be I'm going to die. I am worse off than a wicked person. A wicked person at least gets what he deserves. I am suffering for things that I don't deserve. And what's the end? The end is I'm going to die just like the Rasha. So that was in the past. Now he's coming to put forth a new argument. So now he's coming to express his mind, to express his opinion. What he means to say is, how can I believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really pays attention? What is man that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should consider him as a great and honorable creature, the man is worthy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should pay attention to. Should HaKadosh Baruch Hu really pay attention? Man is a nothing, he's a weakling, he's a nothing, and he is despicable, he's despised. Is man really worthy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should pay attention every single morning? Hashem should pay attention to his deeds every moment. Is this befitting you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Rashi, Pasuk Yud Zayin, V'chis Sigadlenu, Loshes Elov, Livcho, Livchoid Masav, to examine his ways, B'chol Boiker, V'livchoid, and to test him, L'chol Rege, every single second. That is his argument. Now this Gemara, this Pasuk here, these two Psukim here are very powerful Psukim, Masechta Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara there has a very interesting discussion which has really taken, has interested many of the Gedolei Yisrael, about when is a person judged. We come once a year on Rosh Hashanah for Yom Hadin. The Yom Hadin, Rosh Hashanah. And then we have Yom Kippur. But the truth is, the Gemara says it's not necessarily so a person is judged more periodically than just once a year. There's an opinion that he's judged every once a day. And then there is the opinion that he's judged every single moment. So every single moment you go out of your mind, it's Yom Hadin. And it's not a Toikif. So that, where does that come from? The good comes from these psukim right here. Let me read you the exact words of the Gemara in the Rosh Hashanah on Daf Tezayin Amud Aleph. Rabbi Yosi Oimer, Adam nidon b'chol yom. Not like what we do every day. We only think we're being judged once a year on Rosh Hashanah. Every single shenemar, this pasuk, v'tifkidenu liv karim. Hashem examines, Hashem inquires, remembers a person every single morning. Rabbi Nosson oimer, Adam nidon b'chol shoha. Every moment, shenemar, the end of the pasuk, lirgaim tivchanenu, and Chazal say elu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim. There are different levels of mishpat. There's a bigger mishpat that's once a year, and there's a smaller mishpat on Rosh Chodesh. Even Rosh Chodesh is zman kapar l'chol toldosam. Every Rosh Chodesh is a me'ain of Rosh Hashanah, and then there's another. That's why we have birchas hachodesh. All of these things is a serious moment. We discussed yesterday a little bit that there's a serious mishpat, a degree of mishpat on Rosh Chodesh, and then the Gemara follows through. There's a mishpat every single day, and there's a mishpat every single rega. Different madregos of mishpat. Okay, Pasuk Yutes. Pasuk Yutes, Eve now complains to Hashem, enough is enough. Now he's in a new theme. He's changing the chain. He's saying that, Ribbono Shel Olam, whatever it is, whatever you got planned for me, enough is enough. Put an end to it. Kama lo sishe mimeni. How long will it go that you will not let up? Sisha means to hold back. How long will it be that you're not going to hold back? You let it on. You attack me. You bring upon me pain and suffering continuously. Give me a break already. Give me a couple of minutes, a few minutes to take a break. How long will it be that you will not hold back me, many, this pain and suffering? Lo sarpeni, you don't loosen your grip. Sarpeni means to loosen your grip upon me, to torture me, even for the smallest second. Ad bili ruki, the amount of time it takes to swallow your own saliva. Okay, we had yesterday warp speed. We had another expression of how different ways of describing time. Here is another way to describe time. The amount of time it takes to swallow one's own saliva, even that half a second, Hashem does not give me a break from my pain and suffering. Pasuk Yutes in the Mitzudos Kama Ko'imer, he means to say, V'lu Atim Tashkiach Bobi, even if it's true that there is Hashkacha Pratis. Maybe you're right. Maybe I did an aveira. Maybe really deep down inside me there's something really wrong and I deserve to suffer. Okay, even if it's true I'm a Rasha and I deserve punishment, but I deserve at least a little menucha for a few moments. What's this that this such a long period of time you don't hold back from one moment from inflicting me? You don't give me any release, any free time to release your grip. Af zman muat, meshech shir, the amount of time it takes belias harik to swallow my saliva. Leave me, just give me a few moments. Rashi pasuk yutes, kama eis oruch. How long will it last? This long period of time, asher lo tishe mimeni, that you will not withhold your anger, your punishment from upon me. Kamo v'yal yishu b'divrei shoker, do not turn. Yishu, so he's saying, tishe means to turn. You're turning to me in an evil way. You're punishing me. V'yal yishu b'divrei shoker, v'chein sha'om she'ei me'ali v'chadal. Turn away from me and desist. Bili roki, the amount of time it takes to swallow saliva. Kadei b'liyas Reiki, the amount of time it takes to swallow saliva. Pasuk Chaf. Now he goes on to say Chotosi. Now he admits, perhaps you're right, Hashem. Perhaps I have no choice but to come to the conclusion that indeed I have sinned. But so what? Now this is another very powerful concept. Why does it bother you, Hashem, that I have rebelled against you? Even if a man indeed sins, rebels against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that doesn't diminish from your greatness, doesn't take away anything from you. So why does it bother you? If you're walking in the street and there's an infant in a carriage and it sees you and it starts to laugh and smile, do you take it seriously? Of course not. the infant doesn't have intellect that his insult has any meaning, has any significance. So we, Keneged HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're nothing, we're infants. So why does the HaKadosh Baruch Hu even take serious the fact that we sin against you, that it should warrant such a response of extreme punishment? It's a very powerful concept. You know, philosophers argue, make these arguments, they take these psukim right out of Eiv, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Yud Ches, and Yud Tes, and Chof, that why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu deal with a lowly human being? What is it important to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to focus on? Maybe Hashem created the world. Okay, but why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu be involved in the daily events of this world? Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu care if Min rebels against him? But what's the obvious answer? That's all part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only did he create the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his greatness, indeed, he cares about us. He cares about every human being, and he takes an interest, and he focuses on daily activities, and there's Hashgacha Pratis every single moment. And indeed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes very seriously when we rebel against him, because it all is an expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for a human being. Pasuk Chaf, back to Pasuk Chaf, Chatasi, perhaps indeed I did sin, Mo Efolach, how does that affect you, my sin? Note Ser HaAdam, you are the creator of man. Why does it bother you? Lama Samtani Lemifko Lach, why have you made me the target of your shooting, Lemifka Allah means the object which you hit, which you touch, which you use as target practice. The Eheye Olai Lemasa, and why am I upon myself as a burden? Now there are many different themes appearing in this pasuk. Let's go slow pasuk off in the Mitzudos Chatasi. The Ode, he continues, Af im Lucha Tasi. Maybe you're right, Hashem. Maybe I sinned. Mo ani, what am I? What difference does it make? My sin cannot injure you, cannot have any effect on you. So why does it bother you? The ode, haloi ata notzer ha'adam, you're the creator. The lama birasani, why did you create me to be a target for your afflictions, for punishing me? V'lama birasani, why did you create me? Lihios nochon, to be prepared. Losesa, to carry, that you tifka lios nochon losesa tifka bi makas yotcha. Now what does that mean? He explains, ko'imer, haloi bitchilas biryasi, the moment when you created me, you already knew yodata, hikein eheye, I would be a sinner, since you know what's going to be in the future, you knew according to this approach, that I'm a sinner, I'm deserving, yuchi'ilu birasani, therefore it's not fair, since you knew in advance that I would be a sinner, and I would be deserving of this punishment, I would be the target for your punishment, why did you create me to allow me to suffer? In other words, what he's coming here to deny is bechira chofshes. Okay, yesterday we learned he denied olam, he denied tchias hanesim, he denied olam haba, and now to wrap it up, I also deny the concept of bechira chofshes. You, Hashem, knew that I would be a sinner, chotasi. I'm a sinner. And therefore you created me that I should sin so that I should be punished. That is not fair. Now, the argument, the response to Eov is, Hashem, you have a choice. You don't have to sin. There's no such thing as saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew in advance that you would sin, and you would therefore be deserving of punishment. But here, at least, he's coming to challenge this idea. So one more time, those words. Yodata, you knew good and well, kikein eheye, I would be this sinner, and therefore, and because I would be a sinner, I would be deserving of punishment, and you would send punishment my way, I would be a target for this punishment. Uchi'ilu birasani, and therefore, it's as if you have created me, lihinokim me, to take revenge against me, lios kimitra, to be a target, lachetz, for an arrow. A target. So it's the same idea. That's what it means. Lemifka means to touch. Lemifka means to cut, to touch. What does it mean to touch? When the arrow touches the bullseye, the target, that's the mitra for the chetz. He's expressing, that's what the Mitzvah is doing, lemifka loch, simotani lemifka loch. You made me as the target for your arrows. I am the object which your hand has touched when you brought upon me this affliction, this suffering, because I deserve it. Why do I deserve it? He acknowledges in Pasuk, the beginning of the Pasuk, Chatasi. But why have I sinned? I have sinned. I have no choice. I'm forced into sinning. That was reason why...
He hasn't identified, at least to himself, right, any sin that...
For the sake of argument. Now, it's interesting, before we go, let's just see Rashi. I want to point out one interesting point. Pasik Chaf, Lemifka Loch, Kifageya Ha'odam Be'ez Chamos. So when a person is Pageya, he makes contact. He harms at a time be'es chamoso, at the time of his anger, and he arouses upon him all of the actions of his anger, or things that he it's payday when he wants to exact revenge for things that are bothering him. So the basic idea is that Kadosh Baruch Hu is angry and he's punishing me, and he knew that I had no choice. Mm-hmm. Now let's just go further. Back to the Mitzudos. I left out that point. The Eheye Olai L'masen. Now here's a very, very difficult concept. I think it's the first time we had this here in Eov. It appears in Chumash. We have this in Chumash occasionally. Eov says, I am upon myself Olai L'masa as a burden. Tikkun Seifrim Hu. This is called a Tikkun Seifrim. Now, what does it mean, a Tikkun Seifrim? It's a very controversial topic. I don't have all the names in front of me. I have Schwab. Okay, I read it very quickly. I didn't have that too much time. Schwab, he gives some of the sources. You have this also in Rashi. Rashi himself in Chumash also uses this term, Tikkun Seifrim, which means it's a euphemism, simply, that he really meant to say, I am upon you, I am a burden for you. So he really meant to say, Ve'eheye olecha, I am upon you, Hashem, l'masa, as a burden. Now that's very disrespectful. You don't say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I'm a burden to you. There's nothing that's a burden to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. We're not even in the category of a speck of dust connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's a way of bringing out a point. And he's saying that because my entire existence, I'm muchrach, I am forced into sinning, I have no bechira, and you have no choice other than to punish me. So my entire source of existence is to bring trouble for you and for you to punish me. And that, kaviyachol, is a burden for you. Did he actually say the word Olecha, Eiv, when he was speaking? And whoever wrote this Sefer, who changed it? So there is a controversy. Rishonim debate this issue. According to some Rishonim, whenever you have in Chazal this concept called Tikkun Seifrim, it means the one who actually put this book into writing, into words, changed the text. In other words, Eov, it came out of his mouth the words, Ve'eheye olecha l'masa. Moshe Rabbeinu, who supposedly wrote Sefer Eov, according to one opinion, or whoever contributed, Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, to formalizing Sefer Eov, they were the Seferim. They are the scribes. And they said, we cannot allow in this book such a statement, even though it's not accurate. It's not a true quotation. Today, you know, you go in media, you go and you misquote someone, the whole world will be screaming. But it's not respectful, so they actually change the words. That is an extreme approach in the meaning of this concept called Tikkun Seifrim. Other Rishonim disagree. Maybe it's not a Chodesh, it could be Achreidim. You have to, there's a lot of written about this. But they say when it says Tikkun Seifrim, it does not mean that the person responsible for putting the book into its final form actually changed it. It's an expression. Eov also changed his expression. When Eof said the words, he said, "Ve'ehei olai l'masa," but he meant to say, "Ve'ehei olecha." Okay, so there's an extreme of what this, and why do we say tikkun seferim? It means that Eof, when he was speaking, knew that it would one day be recorded, so he was acting as the scribe, al shem ha'asa, and he was careful in how he actually expressed himself. But the point is, he's coming to say, Kadosh Baruch Hu, that my entire existence is nothing more than a burden for you. That is the Mitsudos' first interpretation. In the second interpretation, you know, it's not a tikkun seferim, he means to say, Ribbono shel Olam, I want to die. My life is a burden upon myself. Which is another way, and he said this already 10 times, enough is enough. I can't go on anymore. Every moment of my existence is a burden, and I need to die. Let's see the words inside. Ve'ehi alai l'masa, tikkun seferim hu. This is a change of expression. Ve'haroi, what he really meant to say was, ve'ehi olecha l'masa. He is continuing this theme, that you have created me, I'm a mukhrach, I have no choice, I have to sin, I have no bechira in this world, and I'm a burden. U'musav al, and this expression is returning back to the beginning of the pasuk. Lama samtani, why did you put me in this world as a lemifkolach, as a target for your arrows? Ko'imer, lama birasani, why did you create me linokim bi, only that I should be an object which you would punish, because I would rebel against you. V'liyoy salecha l'masa, I'm a burden. Lifkoy ma b'kdush osecha, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the fact that you are punishing me, you are bringing harm upon me, obviously you take very seriously my sins. You view the sins that I commit against you to be something which are worthy of punishment. I'm being pagan b'kdush osecha. Haloi toiv hoyo he'edar, it would have been better for me not to exist. Uv'loi tigun par. Period. That's the Mitzvah's first interpretation. If you don't have the tikkun, it would be interpreted as saying, he means to say that my life is detestable. I can't bear myself. I hate myself. I am a burden to myself. It's an expression. Okay, Rashi, let's see the Rashi over here. The second part of Rashi, ze'echot min tevos shekina hakosuf, which has been changed. The Chay, the Hain, and these are called Tikkun Seifer. This is the Rashi's.
Is this a Kabbalah, like a Masorah, that this is a Tikkun Seifer?
It seems so, yes. There's a famous Tikkun Seifer in the beginning of Bereshis. I don't remember where it is. There's a Pasuk in Bereshis, and Rashi says, what? I don't remember where it is. I don't remember. Could be Rashi there says Tikkun Seifer. The reason I remember was because. Remember the blue chumashim, those old the English trends, the linear. I grew up with that. Not Hertz. So I just remember that when the way they translated Tikkun Seferim, there were some people that were very upset. They were very upset how it was translated. Could be it was corrected at a later point in time.
Editor's revision.
Something like, no, I don't know, I don't have to go look at what it said. That's the only reason why I remember. There was some controversy, because that was a very Haredi publication. We all grew up with that. Today they probably use the Mitsudos. I think the Mitsudos and the art scroll has taken over the market.
I think the one you're talking about,
Sharfman. It was blue, Rashi. We all grew up with that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a Rashi, Tikkun Seferim, so there's a translation. I think at some point in time they changed the way they translated the word Tikkun Seferim, and that sparked a whole debate. What exactly does it mean, this concept called Tikkun Seferim? Here we have it in Eov, where Eov is saying, I am upon Olai l'masa, he really means a burden to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, this idea that he denies Birur Chavshis is coming from Eliphaz. Who is Eliphaz? Eliphaz is the father of Amalek. Who is Amalek? Amalek is the great-great-great-grandfather of Agag. Agag Melech Amalek. Now, the Haftarah for Parsha Zohar, we learn about Agag's last stand. When Agag comes out, he comes out to Shaul, or to Shmuel, to be killed. He's taken out in Ma'adanos. Okay, Adanos means chains. Right, so let me just find the Haftarah. I'm not too swift with finding the Haftarahs in the back of the Chumashim. Haftarah, the Beis Shel Pesach, is not what I want. What happened to the Haftarah here? After Rosh Chodesh? It's after Shemos? Do you know we have in the back?
Yeah.
After Shemos? Let me just do a quick look before I turn. Okay, Mishpatim, Tuma, Tzave, Hudei, and here we go, Vayikra, and nope.
All in the back.
Let's take a look.
Look in the index.
That was the Tikkun Seven. Okay.
That was Rav Shachman and Rav Sheps.
Okay, here I got it. Okay, I don't know the logic to this, but I don't know the logic to this. Okay, the pasuk says, "Vayomer Shmuel Haloyim Katan." Okay, if he brings a Vayomer Shol Shmuel Asher Shemat Vayecha Am Shalol. Vayomer Shmuel, Hagishu Elai es Agag Melech Amalek. Bring me Agag. Vayelech Elav Agag Ma'adanos. What does it mean, Ma'adanos? It's a very hard word to translate. There are many interpretations. One of the popular interpretations, I don't have here, the Mikros Gdolos, means he was taken out Ma'adanos in chains. Why does the pasuk tell us that he was taken out? He was taken out in chains. Right, he was taken out. However he was taken out, he was taken out. Vayomer Agag, Ochein, Sor Mar Hamoves, Sor Mar. Now it's time to die. Vayomer Shmuel, Kasher Shikulo Nashim Charbecha, Kain Tishkal Minashim Inecha. Vayishasev Shmueles Agag Lufnei Hashem Ba'Gilgal. He cut off his head. He killed him. The question over here is why Ma'adanos? So the Darshanim explain Ma'adanos means his last statement. This is the essence of Amalek. Man is Muchrach. Man has no bechira chofshes. Man comes into this world with a certain disposition, a certain tendency of how he will behave, and that's his life. That's how he's going to behave. There's no such thing as bechira chofshes. Therefore, you can't hold a person responsible. They can't be schar v'oynish. It's a very deep idea. And all of that, that entire idea, is all rooted in his last statement where he came out. The way he came out, look, I'm in chains. I can't move. I'm muchrach. My matzav, he wasn't just being taken out in chains. He was making a statement. He was defiant until his very last moment. The essence of Amalek is there's no such thing in this world as bechira chafshes. Here, unfortunately, Eliphaz rubbed off on, it's Eov is speaking, but Eov is speaking to Eliphaz. Maybe Eliphaz, and we always look, it's a very interesting idea, we always look at Sefer Eov as Eov is the recipient. Right? You go to Menachem Ovel, it's one way street. The Ovel is sitting, and everyone is trying to give Nechama. Everyone is trying to give, say, words of wisdom to give Nechama. But the truth is, in Sefer Eov, you know what's happening? Eov is having effect on the three Chaverim. From these three Chaverim, there are really four Chaverim. I discovered that yesterday. There's another Chaver at the end of the Sefer. Okay, you live and learn. As you go through the Sari, you learn more. I didn't get too far. But what's happening here, if we learn, let's make the assumption that Eov lived at a very early point in time, at the time of Avraham Avinu, the world is first being established. From Eliphaz will come a whole nation, Amalek, which we know all goes all the way down Ad Hayom Hazeh. Then there's going to be Bildad Hashuchi, and then there was another person, Hanamosi. These people go on to establish nations. The Gra tells us, there's a Gra that tells us that who each one refers to. Eoiv's words are having a major effect on the Hashkofa of these people. Eoiv here is coming to tell Eliphaz, Ma'adanos, I'm in a state of denial, I'm in a state of tsar, and I've come to the conclusion there's no such thing as Bichiru Chavshis. There's no Olam Haba, and there's no Tchiyas HaMeisim. Eliphaz took it seriously. Eliphaz was nishba, he was affected by the words of Eoiv. And when everything was all said and done, when the day was over, when the year was over, Eoiv went his way, Eliphaz went on his way, and Eliphaz was a different person. And he established a nation, he had a child called Amalek. And in Amalek, he imparted within him his Hashkafa. And part of this Hashkafa was exactly what it says in the Haftarah that we read for Parsha Zohar, that man has no Bechira. This is the essence of Amalek. Where did he get it from? It's not so far-fetched to say that Eoiv planted this horrible seed. It may have been...
So he was a Chayte Machte.
It's not his fault. Like we said, Ein Adam Nitvas Al Tzara, Ein Achnami. But you don't. The point that we want to make is when you learn Sefer Eoiv, it's not a one way street. It's not the friends are coming here to give Nechama, to criticize Eoiv, and Eoiv is listening and is responding. Just as much as the friends speak to Eoiv, Eoiv speaks back to the friends and influences their reasoning, their mind, their hashkafa. And when they leave, when this day is over, when they go out to establish a world, a lot of it is because of Eoiv's influence. And that you clearly see here with Eliphaz, who's talking to Eoiv, and Eoiv is telling him this concept of there's no Bechira, and that is the essence of what Eliphaz comes to teach Amalek. Alright, now let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Ume Loisisa Pishi. Now he comes on to say, Hashem, enough is enough. When will it be that you will forgive my sins? How long will it be that you will not forgive my sins? Maybe Hashem, you're right, I've sinned, I'm wicked, I'm a muchuch, I had no choice to sin. But Hashem, enough is enough. I can't bear this suffering anymore. There has to come a point in time where you will forgive my sins. V'savir esavoni, and let my sins pass. Ki ato now le'efor eshkov, because now my time has come to die. V'shi chartani ve'eineni. Because now he's really going backwards. There has to be some logic to the process of the arguments, because he jumps back and forth. Let's say Eliphaz was right. Eliphaz said that you're suffering for a few moments, for a few days, for a period of time, so that ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring upon you good. But Hashem, when you're going to desire to bring upon me good, and that is captured in the word v'shichartani. V'shichartani is a difficult word, it doesn't appear very often, it means to didoyresh. When you, Hashem, will seek me out to bestow upon me reward, I'm not going to be around. I'm going to be dead. Ve'eineni. I will cease to exist. Why? Because the punishment that you brought upon me in preparation was so intense, you overdid it. It was an overkill. You wiped me out from this world. So if Eliphaz is right, that you're trying to punish me, to purge my sins so you can bring upon me the ultimate good, Hashem, I think you already accomplished your task, and enough is enough. Stop the punishment, so that at least I will have something to look forward to in the future. Let's see the Mitzvot's Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Omer, the Ode, Halei Kvar Kibalti Dei HaGemul. I've already received enough punishment. Umeat Olam Lo Timchol Pishi. Why don't you forgive my sins? Lahavi Olai HaToyva Gemul HaTzedek. Now that I've received so much punishment, you should bring upon me the reward that you promised. Ki Ata Ratzalaymar. Hello. Ata Bezman Korob. In a very short period of time, Eshkav le'ofar ki meisei olam. I'm gone. V'chasher tisha oisi ligmuleni. And then when you're going to delay, tisha, when you're going to turn Osi, when you're going to turn to me, Ligam Leni Gumul Hatzedek, to give me reward, as Eliphaz told me, Lo Ehye Od Ba'olam, I'm not going to be around, I'm already gone. Vi Kupach Imkein Sichari, and thus my reward will have been cut off from me. So that is his final words. Now here, what the Mitzudas does very nice. He does this. We already had this a few times. He summarizes. This is the conclusion of Eov's response to Eliphaz, and now he summarizes basically the last two parakim very quickly. Ho'oile me hama'aneh hahi. What is the conclusion? What is the summary of the response? The mana means the response of Eov. His main thrust is, what's the summary? Listor das Eliphaz. To contradict, to reject the argument of Eliphaz, Sha'omar, what did Eliphaz say? Sha'kol bo behashkocha u'gumul yishalim. That everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is with a cheshvin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is hashkocha pratis, and if you are suffering, it's because you deserve it. Hashem is purging your sins that you deserve in order to prepare you for the ultimate good. Ugumul Yishalim, and ultimately Hashem will give you reward. He summarizes a very powerful statement. He summarized the entire Eliphaz in these couple of words. You deserve what you got, and it's for your ultimate good, the reward that you will receive in the near future. Kiyoshiv Amorim. Eov responds with the following words, in Cain, who? Yihye od ovel nosef. If what you're saying is true, Eliphaz, then it's even worse. Then it's worse than I thought. If what you're saying, Eliphaz, is correct, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds me to be guilty and is punishing me to prepare me for the future, then it must be that it's a lot worse than I thought. Ovel Nosef ki gemul hayisurim asher yishulam latzadikim, because then the result would be in my mind, what Hashem does to the righteous is worse than what He does to the wicked. That's the essence of his response. Ki gemul hayisurim asher yishulam latzadikim al me'at he'ovon, on a few averos, ro'ohi is even worse me gemul ho'evyon than the punishment asher yishulam l'rishoim that Hashem does to the wicked. Why? What's the proof? The proof is because v'yovi ro'yim ibali ha'michoif. He brings a proof from the people who suffer. Asher yitzpu yom yom b'havaras hazman. He reviews the entire parak. The people who suffer, the tzaddikim who suffer, they can't wait for the next day. They can't wait for time to pass. The meha adam, but the problem is since man sits during the time of suffering and he waits for the next day, he waits out the rest of his life. When the suffering is over, so is man. Man is also over. The meha adam haloi kitzuvim hema. They are limited. They are set. The Yisavim came the scar of Eitz Hamavis. And therefore, what is man really waiting for when a man suffers? He's waiting to die. The Yosef, and furthermore, Omer, he said, She'ein kvod hamakom. Furthermore, this whole thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you tell me that there's hashkocha? There's no hashkocha. Because why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu bother to take care, think about me? I mean, there's nothing. She'ein kvod hamakom lashkich b'shvolim. It's not the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to pay attention to lowlifes. V'yachich b'dvarim, and he further proves with words, Lomer, afim yashkich, even HaKadosh Baruch Hu does pay attention. V'yafim yechte v'osham, even if a person does sin, and a person is guilty. Why should he bother Hashem? How can man sin impact upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The Asim Mayifal Bo, the Lama Bara also, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create man? What else does he complain? The Yisroim O Lomar, Haloi Dai Loi Be'oine Shekibel Atko, he already got enough punishment. Umosa Yikabul Gmulat Sedek, and now he goes back to the beginning thing, when will I ever get the reward that you promised? It's not coming. It's not coming, so I'm worse than the Rasha. Because the Rasha doesn't suffer. The Rasha, Hashem doesn't hold to high standards. And therefore the Rasha Hashem lets live and has a peaceful life. And his life comes to an end. A tzaddik, Hashem holds to high standards. So Hashem tortures him. But then there's no reward either. Because after Hashem tortures the tzaddik dies. So the tzaddik is worse than the Rasha. It pays to be a Rasha. At least you're not going to be held to high standards. And you'll die without suffering. Because if you're a tzaddik, Hashem holds you to higher standards. Hashem caused you to suffer. And when the suffering is over, you die with nothing. So it's worse to be a tzaddik than it is to be a Rasha. And this idea that is hashkacha can't be. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu bother? What is man? And furthermore, why does Hashem even care if man sins? Man is nothing connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How does it bother HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And man's reward is Dunani dies also. This is the response of Iyof, and in his response, as we mentioned, he denied Tiyasamesim, he denied Olam Haba, he denies Bechira. He has said quite a bit of words which are pretty much blasphemous. Heresy, blasphemy, and Alla Gute Sachen.
Because he says, I'm a tzaddik and I'll never get my reward. It's not fair.
Okay, he's obviously at this point very, very troubled. Okay, let's begin. Now we begin Perichas. We now begin now Perichas.
He doesn't seem to be accepting the fact that he did sin. I mean,
at the end, Pasuk Chof, he says Chotasi. Perhaps, maybe, right.
But he never.
Right, he can't find the sin. What could I possibly have done? Exactly. That's exactly what he's saying. Okay, so this is the end of at least the first dialogue between Iyov and Eliphaz. Iyov, after suffering, he complains. Eliphaz responds, and Iyov responds with the rebuttal, speaks back to Eliphaz. Now comes the second friend. The second friend is Bildad HaShuchi. Bildad HaShuchi is another descendant of Avraham. Okay, there's a Gra, right now we'll come to another time. The Gra says that he was a descendant of one of the children of Keturah. Keturah, Avraham had eight children with Keturah, and one of his grandchildren was this person called six children with Keturah, and one of the grandchildren was this person called Bildad HaShuchi. So this person was also an Enkel of Avraham Avinu. So he had some... He's a cousin, and he had some religious background. He went to a Haredi yeshiva. He had some religious background.
He wouldn't have talked to you if he went to Haredi yeshiva.
And his response makes Eliphaz look like a tzaddik.
To whom is he answering?
He's now speaking to Iyov. Iyov, Ayan, Bildad, Hashuchi, Vayomar. He speaks up and he speaks to Iyov. And he's basically going to say Kimat, the same exact thing as Eliphaz, but he's much more blunt. Okay, Eliphaz was delicate. He said, you're a sinner, you deserve what you're getting, it's for your ultimate good. But he really lays it on. He says, your children were wicked. And do you know why the house collapsed upon them? Because in that very house is where they committed the sins.
Oh.
He's much more explicit. He makes Eliphaz look good in his tone and his very harsh words. And his first words go into Pasuk Zayin, until Pasuk Ches. The first couple of psukim through Pasuk Ches is where he says that you're a Rasha Iyov, you deserve what you get. And then in Pasuk Ches he begins to give advice. So let's see. So let's just read a little few psukim. Vayan Bildad HaShuchi Vayamar. Ad on timalel eile. How long will you continue to talk like this? On means when, until when. Timalel means to speak. Eile, these words of nonsense. The ruach kabir imrei ficha. Ruach means kas. In this context, ruach means wind, hadir. That you're and kabir means powerful. Your words are heresy. Your words are molekas. They're powerful expressions of anger. How long will you continue to give forth powerful words of anger in Imrei Ficha? Yes, he is. Yeah. That's why he's building. So if he would have been the first one to speak, he would have been more gentle. But after already Eof twice has expressed himself, there, and it got worse. As he went on, it got worse and worse. Obviously, he was agitated, this person, Bildad HaShuchi, and he spoke up very harshly. Let's see, Pasuk Beis and on. Ad Mosai Tidaber Eilach Advarim Haloim Epicha Yechshavu Likas Chazak. Your words are harsh anger. Rashi, V'ruach Kabir, Ruach Devarim Kabir Lashon Rov, an abundance of anger. Pasuk Gimel. So he says, Hakel Ya'aves Mishvat. Do you think God would pervert judgment? V'im Shakai, another word for Hashem's name, Ya'aves Tzedek, same word, would pervert righteousness. In other words, what you deserve, what you're getting. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is correct. Hashem is called Kel. Hashem is Shakai. Hashem is correct. He does not pervert Mishpat and does not pervert judgment. You deserve what you got. Pasuk Gimel in the Mitzvah Sokel. V'chiyakel Ya'aves Mishpat Mibli Teis Oynish L'Rishon, not to give a punishment to the wicked people. Kifi HaGemol, according to what they deserve. V'chiyaves HaTzedek Lebi Teis Gemol Schar HaTzedekim. So here he's saying the Ya'aves Tzedek means that Hashem deny pervert reward. If you really deserved reward, you would receive it. The Eich Toimer, how can you say Eliphaz, Eliyov, Shemoser Hakol Biyad Mareches Hashemayim, that everything depends upon Mazel. V'hoye imkein kitzadik Rasha, and you're coming to see that there's no difference between a tzadik and a Rasha. It's nonsense. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just. Hashem gives the schar the oinish. Pasek Dada, here is really scary stuff. This is really the worst thing you can possibly say to a person. Person, he lost 10 children. Eov lost 10 children. And he says to him, you know why your children died? Because they were Rishoyim. And you know why they died? The house collapsed upon them? Because in that house where they died, that's where they sinned. That's like shocking. In Bonecha Chotulo, if your sins have sinned to Hashem, it means it did. Im here means it must have been. It must have been that Bonecha, your children, Chotu'ulo, have sinned to Hashem, and therefore, good for them. Vayishalchem biyad pisham. Hashem sent them to their destruction in the hands through their wickedness. What does that mean? Mitzudos pasuk dalit in Bonecha. Rotzeloima she'ein hadvarim bo b'mikra. Nothing happens by chance. It's not a coincidence that your children died. Ki b'hashkacha lufya gmul ki ka'asher Bonecha chotu ba'asoysa mishte tam. You know your children. What was their sin? They made part all the time. Every single day there was another party. Hamev lidei kalas rosh hinei. Behold, oz zir. In the house, remember, the wind came and touched upon the four corners of the house, and the house collapsed supernaturally, and they all were crushed in the debris. Oz, there, in that location, Gorsham, they were driven. It's a very powerful word. Min ha'olam b'mokoyim pisham, in the place where they've sinned. Ki b'beis hamishta mesu, they died in the beis hamishta b'mokoyim haresha, in the place of their wickedness. B'mokoyim haresha sham hamishpat. It's a pasuk in Koheles. B'mokoyim haresha sham hamishra. The place of wickedness is where there is mishpat. So he's basically telling that your children got what they deserved. Let's see Rashi pasuk hey okel yavis mishra hahei nokud padach umelitzas loshon tema. That's the previous pasuk. Does HaKadosh Baruch Hu word mishpat? HaKadosh Baruch Hu deny reward, pasuk dalid, vayishalchem ya pisham, al yidei pisham, through their transgressions, hunas hashlich lohivilam, who the pesha became an agent to destroy them, that they got what they deserved. Okay, so this is the beginning of his speech. Maybe just do one more pasuk hey, im ato tishacher el kel, the el shakai yischana. Now he goes on to say that what has happened should be a lesson for you. And the lesson shall be that you shall turn to Hashem and you shall pray to Hashem. He now begins to give some advice. He says, don't take this as a lesson to come close to Hashem and to pray to Hashem. Pasuk hey in the Mitzvot, imata, ratzolaymar, from this event of losing your children should enlighten you to know that you should now seek Hashem, He shall have compassion upon you. You shall pray to Him to remove your sin. Use this as an inspiration to do tshuva. Okay, there is Rashi, im ata tishacher, yo'ir alecha et sechuscha. He shall arouse upon you. The word tishacher means to seek. We had the same exact word back in Pasuk Chof Aleph in the previous parak. Ki ata la'ofer eshka, back in Pasuk Chof Aleph, v'shichar tani ve'ineni. Eov said to Hashem, the day will come when you will want, you will seek me out to give me the reward that Eliphaz told me is coming to me. You will seek me out to give me reward, but I'll be dead by then. So here is exactly the same word. Imato, now, based upon what has happened. Tishacher yud iyov shall seek Hashem elkel v'el shakai into a kodesh baruch hu tischanon, you shall supplicate, pray to Hashem to forgive you for your sins and to give you reward for your good deeds. What's interesting here is that Eliphaz, that Bildad Hashuchi, unlike Eliphaz, is not focusing on his body. He's focusing on his children. Okay, there are three things that Eov suffers from. Number one, he lost his wealth. Number two, he lost his children. And number three, physical yisurim. Now, he didn't begin to complain. He didn't begin to complain until he began to suffer physical yisurim. When he lost his wealth and he lost his children, he was silent. There was no loy. Did not give a tifla lefnei kodesh baruch hu. It's only when the physical yisurim came upon him that he began to complain. Bildad Hashuchi is beginning to arguing with Eov on something that he didn't even complain about. Mm-hmm. He didn't complain about. So there's something that has to be understood. He's taking a different approach. He's taking a different approach here to deal with Eov, which will, yeah.
Eliphaz doesn't deny that he's could have been a tzaddik, but Hashem knows what he's doing. He'll punish you later, get you. Bilad is coming in saying, you know why you got punished? Because your kids didn't keep sneers, they didn't that. He's being very blunt about it.
He's not saying it to Eve, though. He's saying it about his children. He doesn't say that you're suffering. He's saying that your children deserve what they got.
You deserve it.
Okay, we'll pick this up here to Hashem tomorrow.